Good morning, Beth family, friends, neighbors. Good to see all of you this morning joining in. Dana, Carla, Julie, amen. As y'all come into the podcast today, I hope you've had a great week and hope you've lived in a way that would attract somebody to the great God that we serve. He is a great God, and we're so looking forward to just sharing this time with you today via podcast. To Gab and Ken, thank y'all so much for joining us. And all right, Jeanette, thank y'all for coming in. And I just want to, just before we begin, certainly, and I may have to do that, at the end again. Thank Cheryl. And all the ladies of the Beth and Gab for the, and all those that participated in bringing the woman's, the virtual woman's conference this weekend. They put a lot of work into it. And so we so appreciate what they've done to enrich not only the women of the Beth, but women all around. So thank you. We see Miss Debbie coming in. So we see all of you coming in, and I'm just so glad to have you today. We're going to now give the mic to Cheryl that she can give us a prayer. Hello, Sister Linda.
Good morning. All right, we have a couple of requests that came through this morning via text. So just wanted to mention those this morning. Want to be praying this morning for Joanne, who is going through treatments of cancer. So we want to be praying for her this morning that God will continue to give her grace as he has been as she goes through the cancer treatments. And we got a call from Mama Blake, Cynthia's mom, whose prognosis says that she's only been given a limited time to live. So we know clearly who the author of life and death is. So we'll be praying for Mama Blake this morning. So let's just intercede this morning. Mama Jackson, same prognosis. She's been told that she's got a short time to live. And so her family, daughters and sons are just praying for her this morning. Mama Jackson, Mama Blake, Joanne, and all the families of the Bethsaida family. But we had also a special request from Cecilia. They're having the marriage conference this week. And so, as we know, the enemy's not happy when homes are whole and when homes are healthy and have joy. And so there's always a distraction in that situation. So we're praying for marriages this morning as well as they prepare for the conference. We pray that marriages would be that God will do a great work in every household. So let's go to the Lord in prayer on this morning. And oh God, we bless your name this morning for just being who you are, and you're God all by yourself. And we've got so many things, God, to be grateful for this morning, life and health and strength. And God, we thank you that things are well with us as they are, even in the midst of whatever might be going on. This morning, God, it is well with our souls. We thank you that you are in control and that you're God, and nothing goes on without you knowing about it. So we thank you this morning that we have a God who is our refuge, who is our strength in the middle of everything. God, doesn't matter what it is, God, we've still got a yes in our spirits on this morning. Our whole heart still belong to you on this morning. Bless you and thank you for all of your blessings toward us. Thank you that we're still more than conquerors. Thank you that you cause us to triumph in all things. Thank you that you still cause all things to work together for our good. We bless your name, God, this morning, for this weekend. And God, eyes have yet to see, God, what will be accomplished after this weekend. So many texts, so many calls of women who were set free, women who were blessed on this weekend, women who were encouraged to go just a little further. God, we thank you for using our lives and all of the women that presented on this weekend to do a great and mighty work. God, we thank you that all we had was yes, and all we had was a trust in you. And your word declares, blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. So we thank you this morning, God, that we still trust you in the midst of everything. For every mountain, we thank you. Every valley, we thank you. Everything you've brought us through, we give your name praise, glory, and honor. God, and we look around, we see our families are well this morning. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you that we're in our right minds this morning. God, we knew we were in our right minds because we woke up this morning with a praise on our lips. We woke up this morning with a thank you, Jesus, and we thank you this morning, oh God, for just being your children. Thank you that the cross made it possible for us to have a relationship with you. And now, God, not only here on earth, but God, we can live throughout eternity with you because we've given our lives to you. Bless our time together today in a great way. Speak to us through your word, oh God. And then, God, those who are spirits are unsettled this morning that have distractions this morning. We pray now, God, we would be still and know that you are God. Those who have concerns on their hearts and on their minds today, we pray, God, for a spirit of rest. We pray, God, that you would right now speak to the very place that they've told nobody about but you. Meet them at that place on today, Father. Thank you that as we abide in you, and you said your word abides in us, that we could ask anything according to your will. And you would do it. So we thank you, God, that we are abiding in you on today, that we want to hear from you through your word on today, God, that will do something great and special in our lives. And we're thankful for that, that you've chosen this time for Bethsaida, God, to reach the world, God, with this word, to reach those you have assigned to us. We thank you, God, for this time. And again, we pray for those who need a special touch from you on today. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. Meet them, God, because you're a God that can meet every need that we have. You're a God that can heal every place where we hurt. And we thank you for that. Bless our time again today. Use your man of God. Use your son, God, to speak expressly to us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lead us into all truth on today, because your word declares where there is truth, we are made free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl, for leading us to the throne of grace. So appreciate your help. And we're thankful to Gab, that's working the text as always. Appreciate her service. And again, to all of you that's coming in, Scott, thank you for joining us. Jean, Maxine, Maya, Willie Roy, Corliss, Willette. Amen. Francia, thank y'all all for coming in. Now, let's get into the word for the day, and found in the book of Daniel, beginning at verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. It reads, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned you your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and their wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and to the hearers of this portion and these verses of scripture found in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 21. Today we want to begin what we really call a mini series. We have series sometime that last a while, but this is going to be a mini series. It's only going to be two sermons in it, we think. Amen. This week and next week. So it's going to be a mini series, and the title of that is "What Sets Us Apart." And then today's message is entitled "The Voice." The Voice. Amen. So let's look at both of those things. First, just let me say a couple of words about the series thing. What sets us apart? Gabrielle, my daughter, those of you who are part of the Beth and some of our friends know, plays basketball. And last year when they went to the playoffs, they had shirts that says, "Hustle and heart is what sets us apart." Amen. And so in basketball, those two things are important. The hustle, the ability to chase every ball down, to be willing to sacrifice yourself to get ball and really hustle to make a play. And the heart, meaning that when you have a tough time, even when you're behind and it seems like there's no way you're going to be able to get bring about a victory, you still give it all you got. And basically those two elements are important elements in the game of basketball. But today I want to talk about what sets us apart as believers, as followers of Christ. Sometimes we feel like maybe that we, the way this world treats us and the way those that don't understand us treat us, that we're being set aside. But I stop by to tell you, you're really not being set aside. You're being set apart for God to use in a magnificent and a mighty way. So what is it that sets us apart as believers, as followers of Christ, as servants of the true and living God? And I want to just say the first thing that sets us apart that I want to talk about, I'll talk about that other thing next week. But the first thing that sets us apart is what I want to call the voice and listening to the voice. The voice. Amen. That means it's a voice above all other voices. There is no other voice like it. It's the greatest voice of all. And listening to that voice is what sets us apart. Listening to the voice of God is what sets believers apart. Now, I didn't notice, I did not say hearing the voice of God. There's a difference between hearing the voice of God and listening to the voice of God. Because sometimes you can hear a thing, but not listen to it. Sometimes you can hear advice, but not listen to it. Oh, sometimes you can hear what your parents or your teacher or someone that has your best interest in mind. You can hear what they're saying, but you don't listen to it. Listening means not just hearing it, but taking it to the point that that good advice or that good wisdom that they share with you, you implement it into your life. There's a difference, I said, between hearing and listening. Amen. And I'm glad that this morning I have those of you that are part of this podcast who are willing to come and listen to the voice of our God. I just pray that as we share with you, that that voice can speak through us, a flawed vessel, in order that you might be able to comprehend how that listening to that voice will set you apart for God's use in a dynamic and powerful and life-changing way. All right, let's get into that a little bit. Now, some of you probably, maybe not all of you, but some of you at some point in time, maybe because you were intending to, or maybe by accident, as you were changing TV channels, came across a television program called The Voice. You may have seen The Voice. It used to have four judges, and it was sort of different than American Idol. Because on this particular program where singers came, they had their chairs turned in a way that their back was to the performer, and so that they could focus on a voice that they didn't see. I hope you catch that now. So that they could focus on a voice that they couldn't see. Because a lot of times, appearances can be deceiving. A lot of times, appearances can cloud one's judgment. Especially if you don't, if you haven't come to the realization that everything that looks good isn't good for you. You can make some big mistakes because of appearances. The Bible says Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light and his servants as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. Tells us that Satan sometimes comes masquerades in his servants, those that he speaks through. So sometimes you got to listen to the voice. And one good way to know that you're listening to the right voice is to be acquainted with the scriptures. If you really want to know if you're listening to the voice of God, the voice of the true and living God, one good way is to be acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, those 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, those inspired books that were inspired by God, God's Holy Word. When you get acquainted with them, that's why we have to study. We have to study in Sunday school. We have to study, amen, when we come to the time in church for the presentation of the word. We have to study at home. We have to study it in different small group settings, because we want to know what the word of God says. That way we can always in our sharing and hearing the various voices that are coming at us, we can know the voice of God in rather than the voice of the enemy. We can distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy. So on that show, they would have four chairs of the four judges, and they would be turned with their back to the those that are trying out to become part of the program. And sometimes I think they also would have extra guests, but usually they would replace one of the four. And depending on how, as they listened to the performer, depending on how well they thought that person's voice was, how good a voice they had, how they used it, how they sung the particular song did a particular vocal presentation, they would turn. Sometimes it'd be one, sometimes it may be two chairs turn around, because they have the little button on the chairs, and they can push the button and the chairs will turn toward the person that's presenting at that particular time. Sometimes there would be three chairs, and sometimes if it was a really, really great voice, you would see all four chairs turn around, saying that voice, the person that was then singing, had a really good voice, or something about his singing was so great that all four chairs turned around. And today, as we listen to the voice of God, when we hear the voice, does your chair turn when you hear the voice? There are four individuals in our lesson today: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these four, when they hear the voice of God, there's a four-chair turn, because they're listening, as we will see, to the voice of the Almighty God. The question is today, when you hear God's voice, will you turn? Because sometimes when we are going in the wrong direction and traveling in the wrong direction, the voice of God will require a U-turn in our lives. Are you listening to the voice of God? Well, let's get to the text now. Now, quickly, I'm just going to share a little history. I didn't read the first seven verses, but I'm just going to share a little. I want you to read that whole first chapter when you get an opportunity. I didn't want to read all those verses, but I know you'll go back and you'll check me out and you'll read all those verses. But it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, amen. So Jehoiakim was the king at this time, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had led his nation and his troops, and they had just conquered the other two superpowers of his day, Nineveh and Egypt. And after they conquered Nineveh and Egypt, we see them coming to Jerusalem to conquer Judah, who was Judah, if you remember, was the southern kingdom of the 12 tribes of God's of Israel, of God's chosen people. The northern kingdom, those 10 tribes had already been conquered. And now we see that the king of Judah, not the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, conquering Jehoiakim and Judah, as he has the other superpowers. And they said that when he conquered Judah, he took the vessels out of the house of God. He went into the temple and took vessels out, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. So he took vessels from the house of the true and living God and brought them into the house of the idol gods. And then he commanded Asphanet, the chief of the eunuch, to bring some of the people. So not only did they bring some of the valuable things, they went to temple to put in their temple of idolatry, but they also brought some of the people of Israel. Now, these people that they brought back to Babylon were of the royal family and nobility, youths without blemish. They were nice looking youths, and they had wisdom, and they were knowledgeable, and they were good learners and competent to stand in the king's palace and teach them literature and language of the Chaldeans. In other words, he went and got the noble sons, the sons of the kings, and brought them back to Babylon. And then these were the honor roll. These were the honor roll students. These were the cream of the crop. These were the best minds that existed. Now, these young people were between the ages, usually, of 14 and 17, and they would go through a 3-year process of learning all the things that they needed to know to live in Babylon, a Babylonian culture and Babylonian government and all the rules and regulation and customs and traditions until, amen, they were well aware of the Babylonian way of life. So they bought these young people from Judah and to Babylon. Now, let's get to our verses for the day. When they brought them, they offered them, or I wouldn't say they offered them, because they didn't really have a choice. They didn't really have a choice per se at that particular time. We'll see that because of Daniel, they had a choice later. But they would give them the food that the king ate and the wine that the king drank and the education that the king would offer his children. So they brought, these were the best caterers. This was the best food that was available, prepared by those so that the king would enjoy it. That's what came with being one of these chosen children from Israel that were chosen to be part of the Babylonian, or to work in the Babylonian palace and to work around King Nebuchadnezzar. They had the best food and the best wines, and they said, hey, we want, if you come out of Jerusalem, we want you to eat the best. And the reason why they did this is because they were trying to basically seduce them into compromising, I guess you would say. They say, hey, look here. This is the way the gods of the Babylonians treat you. You get to eat good. You get to drink good. You're treated well. The God that you served back in Judah, he couldn't even protect you. But we treat you well. You need to be a part of this country. This is why it's better. Babylon is so in the culture of the Babylonians, and the gods of the Babylonians are so much better than the God you served back in Judah. But now look. Look back at verse 2. Because I want to tell you the God that's sovereign, the one that rules the world. In verse 2, he says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. You see, it wasn't that Babylon conquered Judah on their own, but it said the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into their hands. In other words, the reason why Babylon was able to conquer Judah was because God gave them over to the Babylonians. Why did God give them over to Babylonians? Because the voice of God had came through prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. But they heard it, but they didn't listen to it. For 490 years, the prophets had spoke. Tell them about the sinfulness of his nature and telling them to obey God, but they would not. They would not listen to the prophets. So what happened after 490 years? You see, because God in his law had said, every 7 years, let the land rest. Don't plant no crop. Let the land rest. Let the land rest every 7 years. Let the land have a Sabbath. For 490 years, they disobeyed God and did not let the land rest. So God said, you had 70 chances in those 490 years. 70 times you were supposed to let the land rest. But you didn't let the land rest. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to remove you from the land so the land can rest 70 years. Because you owe me 70 years. And that's why he allowed the Babylonians to capture Judah. So God, the sovereign God, did it because his voice had spoke. But there were no chairs that turned. Nobody listened. Nobody followed. Nobody fell in line with what he was saying. So he allowed the Babylonians to come in and to conquer Judah and take them, those that were of royal heritage or had royal blood, and make them part of his palace staff. So we get those four that had, as I figuratively saying, had turned their chairs when they heard the right voice. Because they heard a voice that was a voice of victory. They heard a voice that they thought could make them winners. They heard a voice that they could believe in, that could take them to the finish line, and they came and they would come out ahead. They heard that voice and were determined to follow it. And Daniel was the leader of the crew. So when they offered him this food and drink, Daniel, amen, because they were trying to, Babylonians were trying to, get a way that when they conquered somebody, when they brought captives home, they tried to get them to assimilate. There was a process of assimilation. That's the word I want to use. A process of assimilation. Assimilation is when a person or a group takes up on the language and culture of another group to the point that one group becomes indistinguishable from another. And that's what Babylon tried. They would bring those some in when they conquered another nation. They would bring them in and cause them to assimilate Babylonian culture. Now, that wasn't like Nineveh. Nineveh wasn't into assimilation. Nineveh wasn't into annihilation. They tried to just get rid of you. Amen. But Babylon would bring you back and try to assimilate you into their culture, to the point that when they saw, even if you came from somewhere else, from another nation, when they finished with that assimilation process, they could not tell that you weren't from Babylon. That's what they were trying to get Daniel and the other three of his companions to do. But Daniel, the leader, said, I like the way verse 8 starts, but he said, but. So what was happening in the giving of the food and drink and the education and all the other things that they were privy to, that were assigned to them and to be given to them by the king, by Ashpenaz. But Daniel said, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz, to allow him. I know it's good food and the best of wine, but for me, as a follower of true and living God, he may not have said exactly like that, but I don't want to defile myself with that. And listen here, God, in verse 9, when you take a stand for God, when you honor God, God will honor you. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuch. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, God gave him favor, and God then gave him compassion. And don't run past that too quick. Because a lot of times, most of the times, the reason why we're at the places that we are and enjoy the job that we have or the position that we have, it's because God gave us favor. God allowed that person that was in the process of choosing somebody and selecting somebody for that job that you have or some other benefit that you got. You got it not because it was always some favor and some compassion involved. God opened the door for you. And so in this same situation, what Daniel is here, the king said, you know, he likes Daniel. He got some compassion for him. He said, but listen here, Daniel, I fear the Lord. I fear the king. The king is the one that signed his food and drink. For why should he? Now, if he sees you in worse condition than all the other youngsters that we have here, all the other teenagers, then you're going to get me in trouble. It's going to endanger my head with the king. And so now I want to tell you, sometimes We have to choose between listening to the voice of faith and listening to the voice of fear. Sometimes we have to choose between listening to the voice of our father or listening to the voice of our folk. So Daniel was listening to the voice of faith. He said, hey, I can tell you, listen to what he said. And Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuch had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel had faith. Verse 12, test your servant for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. He said, now listen, I know, I understand what you're saying. You're saying if the king see us and we don't look as healthy and we don't look as well as the other young people who are eating his food and drinking his wine, if the king see us and we're looking all pitiful, then your life will be at stake, because he's a cruel king. He's a cruel king. This king was so cruel that when he killed another King Zedekiah, he killed his sons before he killed the king. So the last memory that the king had was his sons dying. This king conquered people and then took the servants and the soldiers and would roast them over the fire until death. So he was a cruel king. So I can understand why his servant Ashpenaz and those who worked with Ashpenaz were afraid of him. And they were listening to the voice of fear. But Daniel brought the voice of faith. He said, listen, I tell you what, just let us try it for 10 days. And after 10 days, if we don't look as well or better than the other young people, then we'll let the chips fall where they may. We'll take whatever consequences we have to take. Because he said, Daniel, I think, believed so strongly in the voice of the great God, of the true and living God, the God of the universe. He knew that somehow God was going to bring it out. All right. And it says after that, verse 14, so he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better. What? They weren't even equal. They were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all youth who ate at the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now, this may have caused some problems, because all the ones that were enjoying the good food had their diet shame. I like to say at this point, Daniel was not a thermometer, but a thermostat. Because a thermometer just reflects the culture. It'll tell you how hot it is or how cold it is, but it don't change nothing. But a thermostat, amen, changes the culture. So the culture is not comfortable for you, but pleasing to God. And Daniel was a thermostat. He did that which is pleasing to God, because he did not listen to the voice of fear, but with the voice, he listened to the voice of faith. He listened to what God had said, and he knew that his God would come through. Now, I don't know where Daniel started to learn to listen to his voice. It may have been his parents. See, and when you're a young person, young people learn to listen to the voice of God through their parents, as their parents teach them and talk to them about God. That's how they learn about God, through listening to the voice of their parents. So maybe I believe that the parents of these four boys had so shared with them the scripture and the voice of God over and over. And then not only the prayer, but sometimes it's the prophets. You can listen to the prophets and what the prophets are saying about God. Those that teach you the word of God, the prophets and the priests that preach, teach you, that Sunday school teacher, that teach you about the word of God, and teach you get to know the voice of God. And then when you come to some situation that contradicts what God is saying, you draw the line in the sand and say, no, that's not God's way. I can't do that. I can't do that. And that's what Daniel did. Everybody else, all the other ones that seemed to be assembled said, okay, we'll eat of this great food that the king and drink of the great wine. But Daniel said, Nah, I can't listen to that voice. That's not the voice, because I know some things about the kind of things that are permissible for us to eat. It's in Leviticus, and this food here breaks those rules in Leviticus. And not only this, but this food has been offered to idols. And they're going to give us, it's like worshiping the idol. And the drink was poured out before idols. And they're giving us a part of that same drink. If I partake of this, it would be just like me worshiping the idol that this food was given. He said, I can't do it. And he drew a line in the land. And said, and this is really important, because they had done everything they could have done to change and to take away Daniel and his three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to take away their identity, because they changed their names. And I'm trying to tell you, young people, when you go to certain environments, it may be your school, it may be your college, it may be the people that you hang around, but don't let them change your name, because your name represents who you are. Don't let them change your identity. You got to know who you are in God, who you are as a follower of Christ. Because if you are not sure, they'll change your name. They'll change your character by hanging around the wrong people. Bad company corrupts good character and good conduct. Daniel's name meant God is my judge. They changed his name to Belshazzar. Baal protects the king. Hananiah's name means beloved of God. They changed his name to Shadrach, illuminated by the sun God. Mishael means who is like God. Meshach means who is like Aku, who was the god of the moon. Azariah means help of God. Abednego means servant of Nebo, the god of wisdom. So they took away their identity that they had in the true God and gave them an idolatry, an identity that was under idol worship and idolatry. It tried to cause them who were worshipers of the true living God to become comfortable with worshiping idols. And I'm trying to say there are certain contexts, young people and old people alike, that we'll get in. And if we don't know who we are in Christ and who we are in God, folk will try to change your identity and make you act a different way. And these boys were far away from home. They were young kids, between 14 and 17. You know how important it is for teenagers to fit in with the group and to be liked and not to be rejected, but to be accepted in the group. But Daniel and his companions said, no, I'm not going to lose who I am to please who you are. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Don't lose who you are in God and how valuable. And don't lose your own dignity so somebody else will like you. Don't give up you to be liked by somebody else. Because when you lose you, you lost everything you had. So the person, if you lose you just to be liked by somebody else, then the person don't like you. He like who you become. Daniel said, no, I'm not going to lose, man. Daniel said, I'm going to take a stand right here. I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I'm just not going to do whatever consequences may come. I'm going to draw the line in the sand. And then Daniel even had to explain. He said he just went by faith. He said, I'm going to listen to the father and not to the foe. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Be careful who you listen to, because sometimes who you listen to determines your destiny. Look at the children of Israel on the way to the promised land. But 10 spies allowed the voice of the foe to speak through them, allowed the voice of the enemy to speak to them and say, we can't do it. Allowed the voice of fear to speak through them and say, we can't do it. But there were two. There were two. They said, wait a minute. No. Joshua and Caleb said, wait. They were still, they said, we're not going to turn our chairs around for that mess. That don't sound right. We're not going to turn our chairs. No, turn. These two chairs are not going to turn around, because we're listening to the true God, and the true God says that we can do it. We can take the promised land. And you know what happened? Those 10 that allowed, that listened to the wrong voice, they didn't reach the, what they weren't able to enjoy what God had destined them for. But only the two that had listened to the voice of God by faith, Caleb and Joshua, had the experience of the promised land, got what God had promised them because they listened to the voice. Today, my brothers and sisters, all I want to say to you is listen to the voice. The Babylonians tried assimilation. They tried to assimilate. But then Daniel said, no, I'm not going to assimilate. I'm going to deviate because I'm listening to the voice of God. And when Daniel deviated and went a different way, in the end, God vindicated. Oh, won't he vindicate? He vindicated. That means when you prove that someone or something is right, reasonable, and justified. So in the end, there was vindication. And then they said, you know, Daniel and his friends, that's the right way. We're going to follow them. And I always tell people, don't follow the crowd as believers. We give the crowd something to follow. We don't follow the crowd. We give the crowd something to follow. We're the leaders. We're the light. Light should never follow. Light don't follow darkness. Light put out darkness. Say, follow me. Follow the light. Follow the light. I hope today that you will follow the voice. Follow the voice. Because see, when you follow the right voice, like Daniel, you'll make the right choice. Following the right voice, and you'll make the right choice. And in the end, when you're vindicated, and you're proven to be right, and you're proven to be right on the right track, and you're proven that your God is the supreme God, you can rejoice in vindication. Oh, did you hear that? Right voice, right choice, rejoice. Because you'll find vindication. You'll find vindication that what you were doing was the right thing. So I hope you as I close, if you want to stand apart, you want to really know what sets you apart, it's following the voice. You don't want to know what sets you apart is when you make that right choice. And in the end, you'll be the one that rejoices. Because you set apart and God is able to use you to impact others' lives. I've already made the decision. I'm going to follow the voice that spoke into nothingness. And worlds were created. The voice that spoke out and billions of galaxies came forth. You know what voice I'm going to follow? I'm going to follow the voice that when the storm was rising, stepped out on the deck and told the winds and the waves, peace be still. And all of a sudden the sea calmed down. I'm going to follow the voice that told the demon to come out, the man in the tombs. And they came out in obedience. I'm going to follow the voice that told Lazarus to get up. And after 4 days, Lazarus came out of the grave. I don't know what you or what voice you're going to follow, but I know the voice I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow that voice that after they marched him up Golgotha's hill and marched him up Calvary, he told those that had mistreated him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to follow the voice that turned to the thief on the cross and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm going to follow the voice that after he had finished paying for my sins, up on Calvary's cross, hung his head and locked some of his shoulders and said, it's finished. It finished. All that needed to be paid had been paid. I'm going to follow the voice that got up 3 days later and told the women at the tomb, go tell my disciples and Peter too. I'm glad he said Peter too, because Peter needed another chance and I need another chance. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I like a voice that said, hey, go tell my disciples and Peter too, because that's the voice of a second chance. If you need a second chance today, I want to invite you to follow the church. But not only that, I want to follow the voice that said, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Healing power, delivering power, life-changing power, miraculous power. Whatever you need me to do, I got the power to do it. Listen to the voice. There's nobody like the God we serve. He's God all by himself. Because Daniel and his companions listened to the voice. He was set apart. And the king said, boy, they 10 times better. I ain't seen nothing like this. I ain't seen nobody like them. Don't nobody come close to these little fellas here. I don't know where y'all got them from, but these some outstanding young men here. They follow the voice, and it set them apart. It'll set you apart on your job. Now, it may not at first. At first, you know, it may be some complaints, and you might fear losing that job. But don't have no fear, because if you lose that, he'll give you nothing. He gave you that. Don't fear. It'll give you favor in every arena of life. God will move on your behalf. You'll be set apart. Now, sometimes folk who don't understand God, who are not followers of God, who are living in the darkness, they'll set you aside. Don't feel bad because I'm set aside. You know, I don't have lot of likes and followers like everybody else. Because a lot of time when you set aside, it just means God done set you apart. Because he's going to give you a platform to do something amazing in your life. When you follow the God that we serve, he's an amazing God. Follow his voice. It'll set you apart. Gav is going to come and she's going to give us a song for today. And while we're listening to that song, I hope you make a decision. If you've been following other voices, you make that decision. Say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He's a mighty good Savior. All right, let's listen to the song and be prayerful as God leads you. Here. Can you hear me now? Okay, we're going to try the song again. Sorry, y'all. Give me just a second.
Church has made Jesus take from me all the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone that you did not create. Help me be me and only see you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I just want to be that person that God created me. You know, that name Daniel means God is my judge. And Daniel lived that way. Amen. He just tried to please God. He only saw God as his judge. So in every action and every way he lived his life, he was always looking for God to be pleased and not for people to be pleased. Because a lot of time, amen, if you try to please people and God at the same time, it doesn't work. Just try to please God. Try to live in a way that God, your truly judge, yeah, is pleased. Thank y'all all for coming in today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Hopefully see you on the grounds next week. And we'll be on the grounds and still doing the podcast. We do want to tell you that we are going to lunch, the website this evening in about an hour or so. Those of you that don't already have the domain name, we'll be putting it on the app. And I'm asking Cheryl to text to all those that are you are connected to her texting, so you'll know and you can go and look at the website. Finally kind of got it finished. We don't have a lot of content on it in certain areas because of the pandemic. There are not a lot of activities as far as events and things like that to put on there, and some other pictures and things we need to add to our content that we can't take now because of social distancing, or because y'all are not showing up at the those of you that choose to stay at home, let me say it like that, because of the pandemic, we understand that. So we're going to have to wait a little while before we get everybody's pictures for all the different organizations and some events to put on there. But there's a lot of other things on there for you to look at. And as we just began, we're hoping, like I said, within the next week or two to be able that when we are not having on-campus gatherings, or even when we are having on-campus gatherings, that you'll be able to view the video podcast on the website. So that's what we're really working on now. Within the next, hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have that done. So just be looking forward to it and praying about that. So, but we're in the next hour, so we'll give you all the things about the website. So now we have the full trifecta. We have the website, the app, the podcast. We're trying to get all the technology that we can to help us to be effective, not only during this pandemic time, but even after the pandemic is over. God has increased our effectiveness during this pandemic time. He took what the devil and just the problems of the world, and then he twisted it and flipped the script and allowed us to grow in so many ways, especially technology. With again, thanks Cheryl and all of the women for and all of you that participated. I know a lot of our women participated. Corliss and a lot of y'all participated. Maybe I don't want to leave that, but a lot of y'all participated. And we certainly appreciate y'all participation, and Gabrielle for handling all the technical stuff, as she is really doing a good job at keeping us online technology. She did a lot of the work on to get the website going. I come up with the concepts, but she's the one that actually got it working. So we appreciate her so much. All right, continue to pray for each other. Let's see, we got an announcement coming here. Hold on. Okay. We will be sending out a link to the recordings of the Woman's Conference message sometime soon. So the Woman's Conference was recorded. So we'll be sending you links to get that recording. And also, if we can, I'm going to try to get the Woman's Conference on CD, so we can pass it out to all of those women who are not savvy to computers and all that, so they can look at it on CD. Just the main speakers and sermon, okay. So we don't get them, like I said, because some of our ladies who may not have had computers or laptops or pads, and we'll try to get them. So if they have a DVD player, they can just play the DVD. If not, we may get a few DVD players. We'll try to be like the schools. You know, the schools got technology for their children. We may have to do that thing for our members, because God's been good to us. So we may have to work something like that. All right, y'all have a great evening. Be looking within the next hour, waiting for the main name to come up. We can look at the website. Continue to pray for us. That we continue to move forward, and pray for the pastor. Be having a medical procedure tomorrow, one of those kind of procedures where they have to put you to sleep. So pray for me to wake up after they put me to sleep, because still got a little bit more work to do. So the Lord say the same. Thank y'all all. Thank y'all so much for joining in today, and we'll be looking forward to seeing y'all next week. Have a great evening.